Ian Ehrenblom and headphones. Put yours on, Maurice. How you doing?
Yeah, very good. I have put them on. We're good. Where are we today? I think we're at 28 at the moment, Celsius, with sunny sky.
We're at 7. You win.
Oh, that's unusual for you.
It's a front or something, and it should hopefully won't be here for too long. Hopefully we'll see the back of it. Yep, 7, 86%, cold weather warning, and it's a bit nippy.
Oh, yuck.
Anyway, Maurice, there's a couple of things I wanted to ask you about. With Maurice Misolowski, our business futurist to the stars, interesting headline in an ABC News webpage. You'd think, oh, it's about cybercrime, bloody blah. But the headline is, Russian man identified as Medibank hacker hit with sanctions by Australian government. Immediately naming and shaming, Maurice. Is that the new thing, even though it's medieval?
It appears to be. So this was a very big announcement made about 5 hours ago, morning time, our time, 8 o'clock press release, and it ran across all the television stations. So they definitely want to make a splash with this. They were not asking to hide it, they being the government. So the federal government came out, Penny Wong and a whole lot of her other ministerial mates, and made an announcement that they had identified what in Australia was called the Medibank hacker.
Yeah.
Now, Medibank is the private arm of our Australian-backed health fund.
Okay.
So Medicare is the private end where everybody's covered and they're able to go to hospitals. Medibank is the private arm of that, which means you can take extra cover, extra insurance if you want to, above and beyond what the government gives you.
Okay.
Now, Medibank has apparently about 9 million people that subscribed over the years, subscribing ongoing payments, and they've received more benefits should they get ill.
Mm.
What happened 2 years ago in 2022 was actually a big thing, because 9.7 million Medibank customers, past and present, their details were hacked, and they were released on the dark web.
Quick question on the side of that. How many? What was the figure?
9.7 million, we believe, is what they're touting.
So these are
9.7 million customers.
Gotcha. So these are people who, on the face of it, are able to up their insurance, etc. What does that say about the sort of wealth state of the country in general, if anything?
It does a bit of both. So firstly, a lot of people actually struggle but take out additional health insurance here.
Gotcha.
So it's not just for the elite. It's actually something that's quite widely done.
Okay.
There's also a tax incentive to do it. So on your annual return, if you take out private, always covered by government here, but if you want to go above and beyond, there is a tax rebate that you receive as well. And also there is a stick. So that's the carrot. The stick is that if you're over 30 and you haven't taken out private insurance, then there is a penalty you pay each year in your tax. So there's kind of an incentive, disincentive there of taking out health insurance. So many, many people will, because in fact it almost works out the same to not have it, and then the penalty on top makes it worse, because after 30, regardless of what age you buy it, it goes up in price.
Right.
So it's always going to be more expensive if you haven't taken it out by the age of 30.
Good.
So that's why there's so many people, 9.7 million.
So it's not just a disposable income luxury, it's
no,
people
it,
save
it really
up for
is,
it sort of thing.
Yeah, it's really something that many, many people take out. They may have very low cover, they may not take out any other, you know, so they'll just have enough in it in case something goes wrong. And again, it's a lot to do with the taxation system. It just is the government's way of forcing us to have a little bit more than they give us, trying to get us out of the public system into the private.
Okay.
So 9.7 million Medibank customers is, of course, remember we have a population in Australia of 27 million. So that's a lot of people's information that went out into the ether. And there has been this big battle for the last year and a half. Of course, Medibank copped a whole lot of stick over it. They were in the press for a very long period of time for how could they, how dare they, how did they let it leak, you know, all that kind of stuff. And they were before ministerials, all kinds of things. I mean, they really have had a very, very tough time of it.
Mm-hmm.
One thing we know, of course, is that this is not in any way to alleviate their pain, because they did do some things wrong, or didn't do some things they should have done, which in hindsight are really easy to fix, but in foresight was difficult to know.
Right.
But these cybersecurity things are really a big issue in Australia, because in the last 3 years, like many places around the world, we've seen literally most of our big banks, we've seen Medicare, we've seen a whole lot of government instrumentalities. In fact, late last year we had an announcement that our courts were hacked, and that all the files from, not all, but many of the files from our Supreme Court were hacked and live somewhere now in this space of the black internet. So it's a really big issue in Australia. So this morning, three ministers got up and said, look, this big Medibank thing that we were all really terrible about, everybody hated it, we believe we've actually found the criminal. And the criminal's name, they've named him, is a Russian man, Alexander Ermakov.
Right. There's so much to ask about this, really. It's almost like the Scarlet Letter. But, I mean, I'm thinking to myself, well, you can't say, well, hit them in the pocket because they're hackers and they can just get some more money from somewhere else.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is the thing, you know, what do you do, what can't you do? He doesn't live in Australia. It's rare that these cyber criminals live in the jurisdiction that they hack. They normally hang out in places where it's difficult to get them, or where the laws aren't strong, or where they know they have a workaround, and most of them don't hang up the shingle. You know, it's not hacked by Morris. It just isn't. So it's really hard to find them. They, being the Australian government and a whole lot of international governments as well, the UK, the USA, a whole lot of the really big countries got together, and they've been tracking him down, because, of course, it wasn't just Medibank that he took information from continuously over the years. What's fascinating is that these government ministers stood up this morning in front of the entire Australian media, and it's been running all day, I assume, into tonight's news, to say that this is the gentleman that we believe has done it. We have very, very strong proof that it is so. Of course, there is always the possibility he didn't, because, you know, it's assumed is the word we use rather than saying he did it. So it's assumed that he is the one that caused this.
But it's okay to release his name. That's kind of crazy.
And not only his name, but his picture. There's this really interesting picture, if you look in the article I sent through, of him, so you actually know what he looks like. Now, the sanctions make it a criminal offence to provide anybody, but specifically him, he's named, with any assets, including cryptocurrency and any money through ransom payments, punishable by up to 10 years in prison.
Right.
It's an interesting way to go about it, because, of course, his jurisdiction is not Australia. It's not like we can send the police around, you know, knock on his door and bring him in. It's just not going to happen that way. So what has happened is that his name and details now exist around the world. They're open. And one of the things that they touted on a lot about in the press, in the media comments this morning, was the notion that these criminals like to be in the background, that once you name and shame them, it makes it difficult for them to do their job, because people begin to look at them first off.
Now, that makes sense.
It also makes it difficult for people to hang out around them. So a lot of their accomplices and things are also believed to be in this disinfectant of light.
So when they say we believe it's this person, does that mean that's kind of legal speak, but they actually do know
well,
it's him?
I can't speak for them, but I cannot imagine these ministers got up and did this whole spiel unless they were absolutely sure. And again, this was with the US and UK governments. There was five governments in total, including Australia, that had tracked this gentleman down. So I'm believing there is very strong belief that he is the person responsible for it and many other crimes. Yeah. Now, what's interesting, again, that word, is that I'm not quite sure which court of law. I mean, I know it's the Australian government, so it's obviously the Australian court of law, but how we drag him here kicking and screaming is not going to happen. I mean, there's nobody believes that Russia's going to knock on his door and bring him across to Australia for us. It may happen, but that wasn't the intent of this conversation this morning at all. There was no comment at all about the Russian government in any of the media. I looked right through it and listened. You know, so there was nothing about them participating or them helping, but then again, they didn't say they stood in their way. There's just nothing mentioned about the Russian government at all. Which was interesting, because before the announcement, there was a lot of hoo-ha about what these three ministers might talk about, and there was comments for about a half an hour about Russian sanctions.
Yeah.
Australian government, Russian
sanctions. Very carefully worded, all this stuff, isn't it?
Very carefully worded, which then got squashed during this media release. It was really not mentioned, put to the side, and that wasn't the intent at all. We're not going to blame the Russian government, nothing to do with them. It's one of their citizens sitting inside of Russia somewhere.
This is, how do I say, you know, when we talk about a sledgehammer to crack a peanut, it's the other way around. It's the future in many ways, even though it's naughty, and yet an old school method is being used to just to put them in the corner of the playground, sort of thing.
Yeah, it is. And that's really the discussion. It has been for us, you and I, but also for everybody over the last few years. There is no real way to stop this. You can't pull the plug out. You can't turn off the electricity. You can't send them to their room with no dinner. You know, nothing that we know to do just works. because these are very, very clever people. And I say that with full intent. You know, we talk about niceness and evilness. You have to be somebody really capable of using technology to be able to achieve these feats. Mm. And, of course, they've chosen to use it for nefarious reasons, for bad reasons.
It's sort of like doing a sanction, but I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's exactly what it isn't.
Yeah.
And that's why they do use the word sanction in what they said, because it's exactly that. It's like a sanction against the government. It sounds terrible, you know, it's over the top. But in the end, it doesn't have much teeth unless you do something to get caught. What they said in this release as well was that should he travel to any of the countries that help to find him, the US, UK or other places, mm-hmm. that it is possible that they will detain him. So there are countries around the world that will no longer will welcome him, supposedly. And there are banks around the world, again, that supposedly, should he be using his own name or his own accounts or whatever, which again I would assume not, but let's assume he is, would also not welcome him in their front or digital door. So it does those kinds of things.
It's like an Achilles heel, actually, isn't it?
It is. It really is. But from the government's viewpoint, they are seen to be doing something. And that, I think, from a PR viewpoint, is really important, because they've copped stick over the last 2 years really, really badly about what they're doing to stop these things, as if it was as easy as switching something off. But the public...
Isn't it funny that very often the solution is almost right in front of your nose? If you want to hide something from somebody, the best place to do it is right in front of them.
Yeah, it is. And the other thing about this announcement is, and look, it's a good announcement. It's good to see the government is working towards it. I found out that we have a couple of not new, but I'd not been aware of government departments that are specifically set up for these things. Mm. So that is an interesting thing to have found out. But what we need to remember is that these criminals, and I don't like saying it, but I think it's very true, are far cleverer than the average person.
Of course they
meaning
are.
That. Meaning that if we've zigged to do this, they're zagging. I mean, you know, they've already found other ways around it, other means to get in. I cannot believe that he's taken his bat and ball and gone home, as we say in Australia. You know, I don't think that he will stop. In fact, in many ways, I would assume it would embolden him to do it in other ways and to continue on.
It's the game, isn't it?
It is, and that's exactly what, you know, many of the people that come from the dark side into the, you know, into the light and become cybersecurity mavens. Because a lot of people that are on this side can turn into consultants on the other side. You know, we did it, so we know what to look for. Mm. Many of them talk about it being exactly that. It's a game. You know, they literally, it's the adrenaline rush of being able to get into somewhere that you shouldn't be able to get into, and being able to know things that people shouldn't be able to know, and then having control over them.
There's an interesting thing here. They hide behind technology, the Australian government has said, et cetera, et cetera. But what they're saying is they're better than us.
Yeah, and that's the bottom line. We also need to remember that this is old technology that they were using 2 years ago. We've talked a lot over the past few months about artificial intelligence. If artificial intelligence is playing itself out at the cutting edge anywhere, it's in cybersecurity, it's in these kinds of people. It's in their benefit to see how far they can push AI to get into people's accounts and get into people's places.
So basically, if you just joined us, it's all about the Medibank hacking case. So the personal info of about 9.7 million Medibank customers was stolen in a cyber attack. Was it a couple of years ago, you said, right?
Yeah, it was end of 2022.
So what actually is done with these details? I mean, dumb question, but I'm sure we'd like to know.
So many of them, again, we'll never know, I don't think, but many of them end up being sold on the black market. Remember that to have one of these health packages, you've given them information.
Sure.
They know your name, they know your address, they know your, we don't have social security, but their social security number, you know, they know lots of things about you. They also know your illnesses, they know your family. So it's possible that you can use that base information to create false identities, because you've got enough to do it with. So that was one of the big things. And Medibank has been really good, or supposedly really good, over the last couple of years of working with those 9.7 million. They claim they've identified people who they believe whose identities have been hacked and who have been forged, and they've apparently helped them to overcome that. Now, that doesn't mean it was easy. It's not as easy as changing bits and pieces, but they've worked with them. They've been forced to make a lot of payments down the track and to be very, very diligent about looking for this information. But the technical answer is that most people either do it for fun, But this guy is not in it for fun, he's in it for business. He's selling the data, yeah. And the data can go for tens of thousands of dollars, literally, on the dark web.
See, if this was a movie, it would be all about identity theft. But does it go to just crummy, cheap scammers? Email scammers, that kind of thing.
It can go to everything. It really does go to all tentacles. Everything is possible out of this. You have people's email addresses, so I'm assuming you can buy that. For me to understand it, I'm thinking it's kind of like the old databases I used to buy in marketing terms, yeah. You know, going back 20 or 30 years ago. You can put in that you're looking for males of a particular age in a particular area, and you could buy a database, which was above board, absolutely above board, to mail to. You know, that's what we used to do in the old days. We used to use a third party.
What's the thinking behind that, Morris? I mean, you often wonder, scammers, they must have a projected hit rate. It's going to be very small, but it's still going to be thousands or millions.
Oh, it absolutely is, and that's it. You only need to get a small percentage of people. You know, we lose billions of dollars in Australia to scammers. I always laugh at that figure because scammers. I mean, the whole box and dice of them. I laugh at it because I would assume many people who have been scammed and spammed wouldn't know it or wouldn't agree to it or admit to it. So I don't think that figure's true. I think it's, in fact, much higher. We also know that with these new technologies, we have some new ways of scamming people. They now are able to use video. So I can actually see Phil in a WhatsApp call or something speaking to me, but it's not you. So it's actually using your voice and your image, and it sounds and looks like you, but it's not. So there's a whole new level of possibility in this cybersecurity, in this cyber attack world, that we haven't yet seen in any big way. I hope we never do. But that, again, is why these sanctions are important. Governments need to be seen to standing up and to doing things about it. But we cannot at any stage just say, look, that's it, the job's done, we can all go back and be safe again, because we never will.
So they've taken the way forward from the past. Another thing that interests me is what the sort of psychological profile is of people who tend to get scammed.
I don't know, and I don't think it's always people who, I mean, we might think that they're, you know, that they're ignorant or
greedy
or uncomfortable in technology.
Easy to say that, isn't it? Yeah.
But that's not at all true.
Right.
You'll talk to many, many people, you know, we're all diligent, but, you know, that 1 second of clicking on an email when you weren't thinking because you were distracted by something else is enough to do it. There's all kinds of ways.
True.
And these people are very, very, very good at getting you to click on things and do things. You know, I've been involved, you know, with Griffith University. I received an email late last year which looked really rigidigi. It had everything on it, the right colours, the right font. It looked exactly like it came from them, but it smelt to high heaven. It was offering, the reason I know it was because they were offering money.
Can you still do that thing where you hover above various... You know, yeah, right.
And you just look at it and you just know by the context of it that it can't be true. And in fact, it turned out to be a scam because they'd managed to get into the database and scam a whole lot of people on the Griffith database, which is not just them. It is true of most universities around the world.
You're quite right. It's not just doing a great big wind-up.
No.
It's capitalizing on a split second. You know, perhaps when you get in a lift and you press the wrong button or you get out of the wrong floor and you don't know that split second, wow, they're in.
Yeah. I mean, I'm even paranoid now of picking up the office phone. If I give the greeting and nobody answers within about 10 seconds,
click.
I hang up immediately.
Which is what I'm going to do to you now, Morris.
It's a scammer. Oh, not because I'm a scammer, I hope.
No, because we've got to do the news. It's fascinating stuff, Morris. There's tons of tentacles coming out of today's conversation, which we will return to. So thank you so much for your time and insight. Morris Misolowski, live from St Kilda in Melbs. It's